When do I know enough is enough? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
Not much. What do you got going on in life? Anything new?
This was our first weekend where we actually didn't have something on, whether that was sports or hunting or something else. And it was actually really nice to, it kind of made me pause for a second and go, wow, life is good sometimes with just a little bit of stillness.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's good. Did you just, laid around and
pretty much
you just meditated and it was just did self-care
deep forms of meditation. It's like I look at my house and I've got all these like little projects around. Have you ever seen that Allstate commercial where it's like, you know, I might be a dentist, but I know a thing or two about home improvement, and the guy like has the saw fly through the window.
Like, uh-huh.
I have a bunch of like in-house projects that I need to fix, and I always tell my wife, you know, I might be a therapist, but I know a thing or two about changing a doorknob or plumbing or whatever else. And then I end up causing a bigger issue for myself than where I started. And that's kind of what happened this weekend.
I was telling Jenny, like, I love Christmas Vacation. It's like my favorite movie. And the part where he's just like, he just found out he doesn't get his bonus and he's just pissed off. And he goes and he's going to chop down a new Christmas tree because his tree just burnt down. And he's walking down and the post is like a little bit loose and he just like saws off the top of it. He's just like done with the home improvements. You know?
He's like, honey, yeah. I fixed the newel post.
Yeah, we got that fixed. Yeah, we all have those nagging things in our house.
Man, all the time.
Yeah, so I'm glad you had such a peaceful weekend with your nagging projects.
Yeah, I actually got two done, so that actually was kind of nice because I never do.
Good job.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it. We got Mrs. T on the program with us today, so welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I listen to you guys all the time, so I'm a little starstruck, to be honest.
probably tired of hearing our stories about like our childhood and our brotherhood, whatever. But
no, I love it. I have siblings, so I love the sibling stories.
Well, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
So your husband was on. It was episode. Is it 106?
104, I think.
104. Okay. And so that'll help if people listen to that and kind of understand, but that was a while ago. So some things might've happened since then. If you want to just give us some context, tell us what's going on and where you're at, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. He came on your guys' show. I want to say it was January, 2022. And when he came on or when he went on
ago.
And 2 years, almost to the exact day. It's so crazy how things like that happen. But I would say, you know, knowing now, you know, the situation, at least then, I would say it's still pretty close to the same. You know, where we still have a lot of those same type of frustrations, you know, with empathy and, you know, giving space and understanding how to do that. I think why I wanted to come on the show is I wanted to gather your guys's perspective and your guys's thoughts and wisdom on how does a wife, how does a spouse know when enough is enough when the changes that are needed to happen aren't happening? I mean, it's been 2 years. We've been through a lot. Our relationship has been through a lot. We've been married for a long time. But I just don't, foresee the consistent changes, within our marriage. And, you know, we still have that frustration with intimacy. And, you know, when I'm not, you know, wanting to engage in intimacy with him, it may not always be that I'm upset with him or hurt with him. Sometimes it just is what it is. But I just, you know, and along those lines, there's other things as well. But I just didn't know, you know, how do we know, you know, how do I know when enough is enough? You know, we have four kids, and what I can say is, you know, obviously I wouldn't want them to grow up in a home where they don't have their parents together. But I also want them to be in a healthy environment as well. And I think it's important for them to see, you know, when boundaries are set and, you know, you set your boundaries, that those expectations and those boundaries should be upheld, and the values in your marriage, should be upheld as well. And so I don't know. I'm a very forgiving person. But I think I'm at my wit's end with things.
It's a great question. I'm sure there's a ton of people listening right now going, please give me the answer to that. So hopefully we can talk our way through this a little bit and maybe help some things settle for you today. Could I just ask you just maybe a little bit more general information?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that are like the raw spots or the deal breakers that are currently open? Like, what parts of your relationship are not getting better?
I would definitely say, since that episode, there was another instance that had happened, with my husband, and some communication via text message with another female. Not anything, you know, where I could say that there was any type of like physical, connection or anything, but it was definitely a conversation where, you know, he reached out to this girl, asked her about her kids, and asked her if she wanted to go to the gym with him. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know they had that kind of relationship with each other. And that was a little while after he was on the episode with you guys. So I would say it's definitely like, you know, the communication with other girls. He can tend to be, he's not a natural patient person. So I know in that podcast, he did talk about, you know, how he can be very harsh with his words and with his tone. And that is still very much apparent. You know, when he feels frustrated about things, he'll oftentimes lash out, or he's really reactive with me, not only with me, but with my kids as well. And I know he doesn't want to do that. Like, I know that that's not something he wants to do, but that happens probably on a daily basis. You know, he hasn't been consistent in going to counseling or therapy. We did talk not too long after he did the podcast with you guys. And he said that he would be willing to do that. And I think he did a little bit of, some counseling, tried the EMDR, only did the EMDR for like one or two sessions, and then felt as though it was just really strange and really weird for him. And then he hasn't attempted to go back. And so there hasn't been any consistent, interest in that. But I would say like one of the biggest things is, there's an area, where, sexually, where I have asked for him to, and I hope this isn't too much information, but I've asked him to get a vasectomy, only because we've had so many kids, and if I get pregnant, it could be really, really dangerous for me. And, you know, we had made an agreement that he would get that done. Now my youngest is 5 years old and he hasn't gotten that done yet. So essentially, and I don't know if this was wrong on my part or not, but, you know, I told him, well, hey, you know, can you please go and get that done, schedule it, whatever it is that you need to do. So that way, you know, I don't have any concerns about getting pregnant, so that I don't have, you know, there's no dangerous things that can happen to me. And I essentially told them that, you know, if this wasn't going to be done, then unfortunately we would have to wait to be intimate with each other until you got that done. There are other things where I can't be on birth control because how it operates with my body. I'm very sensitive to those types of things. And so, you know, just those things like that haven't been taken care of, which for me, it just makes me feel like, you know, he is not caring for me or taking care of me in the ways that I really need for him to do that. So that way it ensures my safety as well. I would just say there's just
Mrs. T, how long is that dynamic been going on? Like, how long have you wanted the vasectomy and he hasn't gotten it?
My youngest is 5. So it's
so
been
since your youngest was born.
Yes. Since my youngest is born.
That's
and I would
time.
Say like the last like 2.5 years, it's really impressed upon me more. I don't know why necessarily, but maybe just because I'm getting older, I'm 37. I'm concerned, you know, I've had complications with my last few pregnancies and surgeries. And so, where I've almost died during surgery. And so it's a very big deal. But you know, when he, he's just not getting it done. And up until I would say like the on I think the biggest reason why it prompted me to call you guys and or you know to inquire with you guys was because we had just had this conversation a few months ago, but a big argument about it a couple weeks or yeah a couple weeks ago that that needed to be done because how it makes me feel, and it makes me feel unsafe when we are intimate with each other. You know, I'm constantly worrying, okay, am I going to get pregnant, am I going to get pregnant? Like it just it's scary for me. And I just essentially told them, you know, hey, like, you know, we've had this conversation. You promised me you would get it done and it hasn't been done. And so until you can get that done, unfortunately, like we can't be with each other, which I don't want to happen. But, you know, then he, of course, throws things in my face. Well, I just don't understand. You know, I don't, you know, can't we just use other protection? I'm like, but that doesn't guarantee anything any more than me just using birth control. So it comes to that fighting dynamic where it's like, well, why can't we just do this instead of me going through all that? So it's just,
has he told you why, like, he doesn't want it done?
No, he hasn't. And up until just a couple weeks ago, he finally was just like, oh yeah, well, let me call and let me schedule it. Which I'm great that he did, but it takes me like almost getting frustrated and almost like, I'm gonna like, I don't know what else to do because you're not doing what you've promised we're gonna do. So it almost takes me like threatening him almost, like giving him an ultimatum before he even decides to try and make the changes. And so it's just, it's very, and it's like that in a lot of different situations, not just intimacy, financially, you know, communication with social media, like it's all of those things. It's like a pattern that I've seen, and I've tried to talk to him about it, you know, about, you know, I noticed that if I'm almost giving you an ultimatum, then it's like things don't change. It's like if I'm almost not telling you, like he doesn't see it from himself, I always have to kind of bring it up. And I mean, 18 years is a long time to be married to someone where you constantly have to feel like you have to continually have these types of conversations, and it just becomes a big argument and a big fight. And I'm just not an argumentative type of person. I hate to fight. I really do. I hate it.
So if I'm hearing things, and I just want to maybe make sure there's a couple factors that are out in the open with what you just described. There's a history of your whole marriage of some things where there's been lack of honesty. There's been anger problems. Over the course of the recovery, it's felt like there hasn't been a lot of consistency. And then the interpersonal communication between the two of you has included you saying what you need. He doesn't do it. And then you make an ultimatum, and then he kind of comes along slowly. And that's been a pattern over the course of your marriage, the way that you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add on top of that, that it sounds like you've been through some pretty significant trauma, not just the betrayal part of it, but the physical health part of it too. There's been some significant trauma with your pregnancies and things. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. So there's that almost like amplifies what's already there. And then it's hard to sift through how much of this is like me with my own trauma versus these patterns that have been here forever. And then it gets exasperating and you're kind of the point where you're burned out.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it's like. I mean, my oldest is 15. So, you know, early on in our marriage, there was physical domestic abuse as well. So, I mean, I felt like we've dealt with a lot of that, but through each pregnancy, you know, we've had four kids. It's been very difficult. And yeah, so I would say it's definitely been a struggle, you know, knowing, it's a struggle. I want to be a good wife and I want to give him what he needs, but I think I'm done at the point where I'm sacrificing myself. In that sense, sacrificing, you know, how I feel safe, in engaging in that type of act. If I don't have a partner who I feel, maybe doesn't value it as much as I do, which I don't think that he doesn't value it, but maybe he just doesn't see it the way I do. I don't know.
Well, I want to get more into kind of the vasectomy, thing in a second, but I want to ask you, well, I also want to say, I hear that you're saying, I want a man who's going to fight for me, not a man who's compelled to fight for me when he has to. I want to ask you, like, in your relationship right now, what values or truths that you have that are really, really important to you, do you have to compromise in order to stay in the relationship?
So I would say, you know, my values which are probably like most people's, you know, honesty and transparency. You know, being open and being willing to have, you know, the tough conversations,
Okay.
Integrity, you know, all of those things are important to me. But above all, you know, our relationship as being, having Christ as center in our relationship is what's most important to me. And I know that when he is, then those things will probably fall in place easier. And so I feel like maybe because, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me guys if I'm wrong, but sometimes I feel like, you know, if he's not at the center, it just makes things so much more difficult. I don't know.
Do you feel like you have to give that up in order to kind of go along and make the relationship work? Like you have to give some of those things up that you just said?
I do. I feel like I have to overlook a lot of things, which I know in relationships you there's a give and take, right? So I understand that, but I do feel like I have to sacrifice, and I have sacrificed myself for so long. I mean, for the longest time, I wouldn't even say things that would bother me. You know, I always had for the longest time in my mind that, you know, a godly woman, a godly wife was to just give herself to her husband, regardless whether I wanted to or not, regardless of the trauma that I had experienced with domestic violence in our relationship early on, you know, even to a certain extent too, which, you know, I think was a big concern to me. When we actually were doing marriage counseling just a couple years ago. I would say it was right before he did the podcast with you guys. We were in some marriage counseling together with that same counselor that he talked about who had left. And there was an instance in one of our counseling sessions where we were talking about the same issue about intimacy and being with each other. And I remember the counselor saying, you know, well, there are things that I tell, you know, the spouses in a relationship, that there are things that you can pull out of your toolbox, you know, when it comes to intimacy, where you don't necessarily have to engage in intercourse with them, but there are other things that can be done. And I felt like when he said that, it was kind of like, well, you kind of need to give your husband what he needs. And it may not be. And when he said that, I think for me, I was just like, okay, maybe this isn't, maybe us doing marriage counseling isn't what I needed. So then I stopped doing that and I started doing individual counseling and I learned a lot from there. And it was none of that type of advice, none of that. And maybe the counselor we were with didn't really have any experience with abuse and with trauma. I don't know, but I just know that that didn't sit right with me and it didn't feel right. So, but yeah, I would say I do have to often compromise, you know, what I feel is safe for me to make him happy in a lot of areas.
And I wonder, like, even just with what you just described, if the therapy was focused on our sex life, then that therapist did great therapy because it was like, yeah, well, but what was underneath it is what's maybe more important. And this is where I think Brandon was asking is that even if he went and got a vasectomy, there's still some other issues here around your sex life that are tied to your values and whether or not those values are being respected. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, which is why, you know, I've given the ultimatum of like, you know, if you don't get this done, then you leave me no other option, because I want to be with someone who cares and wants to protect me, not me needing to have to tell you over and over for a matter of year, you know, 5 years that, hey, I really need you to get this done. And so, yes, I would agree with you for sure.
I just think, you know, we hear this a lot when we work with infidelity, betrayal, things like that, sometimes a wound is so sharp and so deep that it just ends the relationship. It just is like, boom, that's painful. That's hard. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And then there's like death by a thousand cuts. And then there's that. And then there's the fatigue factor of back to your original question of when is enough enough. And a lot of times people get in a relationship where they get really good at pain tolerance and they get good at survival in that relationship. And slowly they just lose themselves. Like I'm so good at not being me in order to protect this relationship that like I'll give myself away here and there, and I'll sacrifice myself here. I'll sacrifice myself there. And they're left with this feeling of just like fatigue and resentment and not feeling safe emptiness. In the relationship, emptiness. And your question is such a good question of when is enough enough? And to come back to, a lot of times we'll say, maybe you need to listen to some of those feelings. But the other thing is also, what can you do differently? Like, what's within your power to change the dynamic in that relationship? And maybe you've already tried all those things, and maybe you haven't. So for you to look at that and say, okay, is there something that I can shift here where we create something different together? And if I shift those things, does it actually change anything, or does it put us back in the same dynamic that we've always been in? Mm-hmm. And if you've tried and tried and tried again, and as I'm saying that, you're thinking like, you're rolling your eyes like, I've been there, I've done that, I've been there, I've done that. And that's that fatigue feeling of like, I'm to my wit's end. Mm-hmm. And then you got to look at that and say, okay, what does that mean then? Like, what mm-hmm. what hard thing do I really need to face here? So.
Yeah, I resonate with, you know, when you said death by a thousand cuts, or maybe I misspoke what you said there, but I feel like that's what it's like in our relationship. You know, I'm not a quitter at anything that I do. Like, I'm just not. And I will continue to push myself. And I've always been this way, but I will continue to push my way to make something work. And I'm open, you know, if there are things that like I'm doing, I'm open to making adjustments to myself to make our relationship better. However, I can't help but think that I don't think there's anything that I could do that is going to change the situation. You know, and I'm a believer, a strong believer. I pray all the time. I read my word. And sometimes I find myself thinking, I don't know if any amount of prayer is going to help, just because God can't change someone if they don't want to be changed either. And I don't know if he doesn't want to be changed, my husband, or if it's just that he has so much trauma from his childhood and all the things that he's, you know, had to deal with himself. I don't know. I think and I'll just be honest, I'm just going to be open and honest. I think, and this is where I've sat for a long time, the counselor that I was working with, she had asked me a question, and it sat with me for like the last year and a half since the last time, you know, her and I discussed this, is, can you find it within yourself to stay in your marriage, knowing or not knowing necessarily maybe everything that happened in the previous relationships with the other girls or with how things are going? Can you stay in the relationship and stay well, and knowing that, you know, maybe things might not get better, but, you know, are you interested in staying for your family, for your kids? Or do you feel like, you know, I just don't love him anymore and I just need to move on? And so I think that that's kind of sat with me for a little while as well, because I'm like, well, what is it? Am I saying? I think I'm saying really because of my kids, because I think if I didn't have them, I'm such a different person now than I was when I was 19 and I got married to him and I was a young girl. I didn't know anything. I was immature and just in love. Right. But I think where I'm at now, I'm just in such a different place, and I've done so much therapy and counseling on my own. I think the one thing and the biggest thing that holds me back is my kids, because I don't want them to grow up in a home without their parents being married. But, you know, I grew up in a home where my parents fought all the time, and I hated it. And so I'm dealing with that, right? You know, do I want my kids to grow up in a home where their parents are fighting? Even though we try and keep my kids from that, we try and not let them hear us. But I know kids are smart and they know what's going on. My oldest is 15. I know he knows. But so I think that's where my dilemma is, you know, what hard decision, because I feel like both decisions are hard to make. Do I stay and do I stay well, or do I leave and just see how, and hopefully everything, I can handle it on my own, right?
Mrs. T, I want to ask you a hard question here. Do you have a daughter?
I have three.
You have three daughters. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like, if we think about it, what would you want your daughters to learn? So if they're, you know, when they're women, they're married, mm-hmm. do you want to model to them, you know, you kind of the long suffering, you stick in it regardless, let your truths go, sacrifice yourself? Or would you want to model to them, you stand up for those truths, you deal with the consequences, you face the pain, even if it's hard? What would you want to model to them?
Well, I definitely want to model to them, you know, that you stick to your values, you stick to what you believe is important to you, and that you know what your value is as a woman in God's kingdom. And even if that means, even sometimes that means that you can be even with a man who you find in the church, and he may not be as though, you know, maybe, as what scripture talks about. Maybe he's wanting to be that, but he may not be that. And, you know, for her to be able to see that and be able to make a decision and not allow herself or themselves, I guess, but all my daughters to be in a situation where, yeah, you know, I just, I want them to grow up to be strong women. I really
if
do.
If they endured abuse and didn't have empathy in their relationship and had some infidelity or just some betrayal going on, and they came to you and told you everything and said, "Hey, mom, like, I'm thinking of walking away from this marriage." Could you tell them that that was okay?
Yeah, I could. And I wouldn't even think twice about it. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I would absolutely tell them, "No, baby, let's figure out your next step." Like, there wouldn't even be a question for me. Like, I would never tell them, "No, let's stick it out. You know, well, what are you doing that's causing it?" Like, I would never say that to them. Like, it wouldn't even be a question about,
you would,
like, "No,
you
let's get you out."
You wouldn't guilt trip them back in and say, "Well, God wants you to stay. Like, God, you're supposed to. Like, God just," you wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't.
But you do that to yourself.
I know. And that's why I get so upset with myself. I know I do. And yeah, I don't know why I do that. I really don't. I don't know why. I think maybe I'm afraid of what people might think, of, you know, what maybe my husband might say to people, which he's never ever been one to, you know, to say anything bad about me to anybody. But yeah, I'm just, I'm afraid, I think is what it is. I'm afraid of what could happen.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe another factor too. I like where you're going, Brandon. I wish it was that cut and dry. It's it's a little messier than that too, because, you know, Brandon was going through he said it in kind of a negative way, but like, it is good to be learn to be long suffering and to do the hard thing and to not quit if it's worth fighting for and if it's the truth to stay, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're right. You would never guilt trip your daughter into staying under those conditions, right?
Right.
And then it gets even messier, because then you go and you line out your values. And this is what often happens for many people, many, many people that we work with on both sides. But let's just say on the betrayed side right now, they get betrayed. It knocks their world apart. They try to figure out how to get their feet planted again. And a lot of times they want to save the relationship so bad that they actually give up on themselves a little bit and they sacrifice their own values. And then they realize that that will never work in the long term. And then they have to do the hard work to get grounded again in themselves. And I love what you said. Like, I could hear the conviction in your voice that you want to be grounded in a relationship with Christ. And as you do your own work, and it sounds like you've done a lot of that, hopefully you're reestablishing that firm connection and those principles. And now the only way that the relationship moves forward is with those values intact. So if you have a partner who's going, "Yeah, I'm really working on honesty. Yeah, I'm really working on my anger. Yeah, I'm really working on wanting to be a husband who cares deeply about you," and you see efforts consistently towards that end, then you can buy some time and stay for a while. But if you don't see that consistent effort or the desire, the willingness on the other partner's side, your values then will dictate that you either get to choose happiness inside of a marriage with lots of boundaries that you won't have, lots of things you want, or it is time to actually start moving on. And I'm hearing in you that you're kind of getting more and more grounded into those principles of truth that you want to live by. And you're feeling like the commitment towards those things doesn't line up with the direction you want to be going.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I think, Tyler, what you're saying is important. Yeah, I mean, I've worked with plenty of clients where we've had to navigate them staying and trying to sort things out and staying in the process and staying in the messy middle and working through things. And the answer isn't always just like go, you know. But Mrs. T, I'm like, and maybe I'm just picking up on this. You talk about, you know, living a Christ-centered life, and it seems like in many ways you have your answer already. And you come back to the, and then that fear is running the show, and it's not the Christ-centered, peaceful connection that you're getting from the Savior telling you, like, hey, like, let's stay grounded in the truth and move forward. It's, I'm afraid, so therefore I'm going to stay stuck where I'm at. Like, right,
I'm afraid of other people. I'm putting other people in the place of that Christ-centered place that you're trying to live from.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just trying to reflect back to you, like, what is your truth when it comes to living that Christ-centered life? And it's really kind of messed up, because a lot of times it's like, well, people will judge and be like, well, she walked away, she abandoned her family. They don't understand the how you've been fighting for so long. And they don't understand that you've wanted your husband to step up and fight for your family. And at some point, you letting go is you actually standing in truth for yourself and for your kids and even for your husband. Like, they don't get that, and they might never get that. And so then it comes back to just your relationship with God, knowing like, this is the truth, and I need to stand in that in order to move forward. And that fear is not going to run the show anymore.
I also wonder too, Brandon, with what you're saying, that this is going to sound blasphemous to so many of us, that you could wrestle with Christ enough that he would tell you that divorce is okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, as a Christian mm-hmm. person, divorce is never okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so what we've been taught. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's part of the wrestle too, is if I'm going into this place of having a Christ-centered life, and now I'm having all of these values come up inside of me, and I'm going, dang, like, I don't know if I can stay in this relationship. It's almost like I can't even take that question to Christ, because I'm afraid that there's only one answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a good basis behind that Christian belief, like, for better or worse, sickness and health, all that stuff, for sure. And like, there's also a set of true principles and values that need to be adhered to that are the truth. Right. And that's a personal wrestle between you and God that I can see is really difficult because of the way that we've been taught.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like that's definitely the question that goes through my mind all the time. And it is, you know, when I was younger, I was 19, you know, right? So you're so young, right? You know, I'm a completely different woman than I was then. And that's the question that constantly goes through my mind, is like, well, I've always been taught, you know, that as a Christian, you don't get divorced. Although I've known people who have gotten divorced, and I get, you know, God, there was a decree that was set in scripture that allowed for divorces to happen. I wish more people and more pastors would do teachings on this, because I think it can lead a lot of people astray and give and accurately teach God's word. But I do believe that there is an aspect of where, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, where, you know, if a woman or a man is in a situation that is unsafe for them, whether it be emotionally, mentally, or physically, that God does not want you to be in that situation, that God does not want you to suffer through that. Like, that's not the kind of suffering that God wants for his people. And, so I would say, yeah, that's, even though I know that, like, I still struggle with that. Like, oh my gosh, like, I'm getting a divorce. I don't want to get it. But I do agree with, you know, what you guys had mentioned earlier, is like, I kind of already know the answer. And I think I do know the answer. It just, again, I'm afraid. And so I need to take that to God and pray and fast and tell him, ask him to give me the strength, and whatever it is that I need, whatever decision it is that I need to make, I need to be able to make that decision. And if I'm going to stay, I need to stay well. Like, I need to, okay, what are the things that I need to do to not allow the things that he does, you know, make me feel sad, or mm-hmm. you know, what, allow me to still be the mom that I need to be, mm-hmm. even in that situation. Because I feel like when things that are really big that happens, gosh, I get so sad and I get down on myself, because I'm like, why am I allowing myself to stay in this situation? But if I'm gonna stay, okay, Tanisha, what do you need to do to stay so you can still be the healthy mom that you need to be? Like, what? So I'm in that, but, and then I don't want to grow old and unhappy. You know, I don't want to grow old and And so, yeah, that's my battle. That's my strength. I mean, my battle and things that I struggle with. But I would say,
I like what you just said. If you're going to stay, and you get that answer to stay, then choose in. Because if you're beating yourself up saying I'm weak and that's why I'm here, you know, that like it's embarrassing that I take this and I, you know, then it beats you down versus I'm going to stay. But as I stay, it's going to refine me to be the strongest version of myself.
I'm going to grow.
Do my hardest work and I'm going to grow. And if that's the answer that God's giving you, you'll grow the most if you follow the answer that God's giving you.
And I like what you said, Mrs. T, because you just said you're a completely different person today than you were 18 years ago. And I don't know what the answer is to this, but if you look across your life and the lessons that you've learned over the last 18 years, is there any gratitude for the person you've become?
Yeah, I would definitely say I've grown a lot. I have. I'm thankful for the situations that I've been in because I've been able to use my experiences and my relationship to help other women. I really have. And although I know God doesn't want us to go through hard and difficult things, we will go through hard and difficult things because we live in a fallen world. And he brings us through those situations to mold us and to sharpen us. So I know, you know, do I believe that God had these things happen to me for a reason? No, I don't. But I do believe that God has been walking with me through all of this, through my entire marriage, through my life, to bring me to a point to where I can be the mom that I am today. Although I do still feel like I want to grow and I want to be better in certain things, but I can look back and be grateful for the woman that I am today, because I'm definitely not that, you know, insecure young woman. You know, I've changed and I've grown a lot. So yeah, I have some gratitude for sure.
Yeah. So the life that you've lived with your husband has not all been for naught. And if you chose to stay, it could still be for your growth. If you choose to leave, it could still be for your growth. If that's what we believe, that we believe God loves us enough to help us grow, this is the beautiful thing about it, is that as you wrestle with God, you get to make hard choices. And you have really hard choices as to stay or to go right now in the relationship. And what Brandon, I think, is saying is that if you make that choice from a grounded place and you believe in the God that we believe in, either one will be an opportunity for your growth.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that, because yeah, I do believe that. I do 100% believe that.
But Mrs. T, in the Bible it says God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And it's my favorite scripture. I quote it all the time. And the reason I do is because of right where you're at, is when you decide to make this decision, I really want you to check in with, is fear the motivator here, or am I grounded and I feel peace about moving forward
power,
from this
love,
place?
And a sound mind.
Yeah. Right. And if fear is the motivator, then what God is there pushing you toward making that decision, whether it's staying or going?
Right.
Versus I feel sound mind about this, and so I'm going to move forward in that direction. Right. To really get clear
like
with
that.
Yourself on that. Yeah. Is important.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great scripture. I love that scripture. So thank you for bringing that. I think it is important. I need to, determine what my motivator is. And if it is fear, then fear doesn't come from God, right? So, yeah.
Yep. That's First Timothy 2:7. I do want to, before we wrap this up, I do want to say something about the whole vasectomy thing. And just to kind of bring this around, I think Tyler and I, we see a lot where sex is a very confusing, just difficult thing in relationships. And a lot of times sex is used for power, control, manipulation, getting what you want, trying to force someone to work recovery or whatever it is. Is your body your body? This is like, is that yours? You understand what I'm asking?
Yes. So I look at it from the physical aspect, but also a spiritual aspect. So I would say, yes, it is
Okay.
mine. But I would say, no, scripture tells me that my body is not my own. So
Okay, so who's
yes and
who,
no.
what? Okay. So who's what? Who's if scripture tells you no, tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, that's something I probably still need to study up on as well. But my body belongs to God. You know what I
Yeah.
do with my
Okay.
it belongs to God, not to any one person.
Okay. And Tyler, tell me if I'm wrong. A boundary of not having sex because I don't want to get pregnant, it seems like a pretty good boundary.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yes.
Sex equals I can get pregnant. So it's, I don't see manipulation there. I don't see like, I'm having a boundary of not having sex because you need to start working your recovery, blah, 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 blah. And you need to do this and you need to do that. It's, I don't want to get pregnant. And I feel safe. I feel unsafe that I could get pregnant, so I don't want to have sex with you. That's okay. Like that is your body is your body and you get to decide whether you get pregnant or not. Okay. Now the same goes for him when it comes to getting a vasectomy. His body is his body and he gets to decide whether he gets to have that vasectomy or not. Where a really beautiful good thing could happen is for both of you to come to the table and to be more open and honest about where you're at with that. It seems like there's a lot unsaid. It's been 5 years where he's like, yeah, I'm going to get a vasectomy. And then he doesn't. And then he like, so something is not being talked about
said.
And it said and worked on between the two of you. So you have this expectation of like, hey, like when's the vasectomy? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get it. But just have sex with me in the meantime, because so either he needs to say, I'm not going to get it or I don't want it. And this is where I'm at. Like maybe he's scared of the scalpel. Like, I don't know why. Right. Like who knows why he doesn't want to go get it.
I suspect that there's emotional stuff that would be worth checking out here, too, because inherently, if we make it about again, this is where the therapy with the other therapist went wrong is. That therapist was making it about this sex. And so inherently, if you go to him and say, hey, I don't want to have sex with you until you have a vasectomy, it's also telling him, he's interpreting it, as soon as I get a vasectomy, she better have sex with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
That's
and he and
good...
even when we yeah, and even when we had the conversation about this just a couple weeks ago, like he had said that. He had said, well, okay, so then as soon as I get it done, we can have sex. I'm like, well, but are you getting it done because I'm telling you to get it done, or do you really want to get it done? Like, and so we did have that conversation. Like, and so I did try and actually have that conversation and ask him, well, do you actually want to? I mean, and I did tell him, you know, it is your body. I can't make you go and get a vasectomy. However, I'm telling you that this is how I feel about it. So, I mean, we did have that conversation, but I think I wish that we could go through some sort of like you had mentioned in the last podcast, you guys had mentioned to him that you think it would be beneficial for us to do like a sex fast. Because I think it would be beneficial because sometimes I kind of feel like, and maybe there's no such thing as this, but I almost feel like sometimes that he, like if we get in a big argument, he wants to have sex with me like that night, like almost like because he feel like it almost makes him feel better. And I'm like, we just had this, yes, we just had this big argument. Why would you want to have sex with me? Like, for instance, I know we got to get going. I'm taking up your guys' time, but there was an instance that happened yesterday. And I was taking a nap upstairs. And then he comes up and he starts rubbing my feet and doing all these things. And I'm like, okay, I know what that means. So I'm like, I look at him and I'm napping and I'm like, hey, I'm like, you know, are you like wanting to, you know, do things? And he was like, well, yeah, I was kind of hoping. And I'm like, really? Like after what had happened earlier, like you were just completely rude to me in front of people, like all these things. I'm like, and you want to try and come have sex with me? Like, and you know, and I probably shouldn't have said it that way, but I was completely like, I had just woken, he was just woke me up for my nap. And so I feel like that would help us if we were to go that route. But, I don't know. It's a lot behind that whole entire situation, but I have asked him, you know, do you not want to? Cause you know, it's up to you. It's your body, but just know that, you know, if this doesn't happen, I don't feel safe engaging in this, you know, in that way with you. I don't feel safe about it. And, so yeah, that causes a big argument and a big issue, but
Well, and that's, I think that's the point is, and we're kind of getting off to a different side angle here.
Yeah, sorry.
Far, but it's okay. Like behind, I'm just going to place myself in his shoes and I could be way wrong. You can ask him about it. Maybe I'm way off. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the scalpel, like Brandon said, but he's still looking at sex as the currency that keeps you guys connected. And you're looking at sex as the thing that gets accentuated when there's safety and trust. And you're saying, if you get a vasectomy, then we'll have sex. And he's going, I don't trust you. Like, that's actually not the real issue here. Like, I could go get a vasectomy and you're still not going to want to have sex with me. And mm-hmm. and he's probably right, because there's other mm-hmm. issues on both sides mm-hmm. that yeah. you're like, I want a man who the vasectomy to you is a man who's willing to care about me and my safety and to choose me. And that yes. would feel good to me. That would feel, mm-hmm. oh, I might melt into you. And I actually might even want to have sex with you if I knew that mm-hmm. I was the one you cared about and that you were protecting me. But what yes. you feel is, he's going to get a vasectomy so he can have sex. It's like, that wouldn't even speak the thing that's really needing to be spoken on your side, which is, I need a man who chooses me, cares for me, wants my safety, prioritizes me. And he's over here going, and I want to be with a woman who wants to give herself rather mm-hmm. than feel compelled to. But he needs to learn that, because he's still got it, like, sex will make everything better. That stuff yes. needs to be talked about. That stuff needs to be brought into the open instead of it just being about the vasectomy.
Yeah. I feel like you guys were like in the room with us. Like, I feel like when you're saying this, I'm like, I feel like you guys know exactly like what's going on. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. You guys have been doing this for a long time.
We've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
But
I think Tyler just hit something pretty important. Like, the whole vasectomy thing, it's kind of a catch 22, mm-hmm. where you want a man who's going to fight for you. He wants a woman who can trust him, but he doesn't want to like just go do it just to do it to please you, which is actually good for him. But there needs to be some level of intimacy and connection, some level of understanding each other and processing through this, versus like waiting for the other to step up for each other. I feel like we're scratching the surface with you, Mrs. T. But this has been a good discussion. I hope you've gotten something out of it today.
I did. Thank you so much. I know I brought two different kind of questions on in with you guys, but thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, it's a really great topic. Thank you for your willingness to come on and share yourself the way that you did today. I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to be okay. And I love what Brandon said, that your work is to ground yourself back to the truth of the principles and your identity of who you are, and then to act according to that groundedness, regardless of what it tells you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. T. If this was helpful to you, she came on vulnerable, she came on willing, and we know that there's plenty of spouses, partners, people in this situation. And so if you appreciate her, please leave a review and just throw a shout out to Mrs. T. And have a great day, you guys. We'll see you later.